Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. All right, shalom everybody, and welcome to Soldiers for Christ Sunday morning. You guys missed Wednesday, you missed Thursday. Who already saw Wednesday and Thursday message? You didn't see it? That's why we're going to do a quick review. Because if you did not see it, I want you to know what where we've been, what we've been talking about. Today's message, very important message. It's really a pastor's cry, so I hope you understand what I'm talking about when we get to holiness and sanctification, which is probably two of the hardest words in scriptures for Christians. So I wanted to, before we get started, and let me see what this is like. I could see without my glasses. Hold up. Okay, Miss Mina Train, and she lives in San Ramon, California. Where's San Ramon, California? Who's been there?
Is it Northern California?
I don't know, but it's in California. And she's
very
okay.
Faithful, Pastor Sam.
Yep.
Very
faithful. And she sent me these dogs to tell me to keep barking. See that? Because I'm going to keep barking.
Amen.
I know y'all tired of hearing me bark. Y'all want to come next door and throw something at me like I do to that dog that lives next door to me. But he keeps barking.
Amen.
All right, because, yeah. And I wanted to show these absolutely beautiful books. They have the Lord's name in the ancient Hebrew, Yahweh. And this is the book of Yasher, which, and the book of Hanak, which is Enoch. And let me see this. Oh, this is Sirach. One of the books of wisdom, and Yehudah. Let me see which book this is. Oh, Judith. If you never read the book of Judith, you need to read it. Judith is about having faith to wait on God and what God was able to do for her because she continued to have faith waiting on him. And the Maccabean brothers, you don't know about. You don't even know about Hanukkah unless you read Maccabean. And then we have here the book of Jubilee, Jubalim. And we have also here the Messianic prophecies fulfilled. And there's quite a bit of Hebrew in this as well to keep you on track with the words. And Pastor Ben already put his little claim on all my books. He got his name written on them. He's like, this one for me, this one for me. So... okay, Pastor Ben, they will go home. But Tahira,
yeah.
Minister Tahira, she saw this
yes.
Beautiful book, okay, marker. And it has the Ten Commandments in ancient Hebrew on the back. And that's Tahira. So
thank you.
If I was you, I would just give it to her because she is. Okay, Pastor Ben, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. You want your marker now or you trust us? Okay. Praise God.
And I'm going to take those books back so we don't.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, Mina. All right.
Amen. All right, Pastor, be ready when you're ready.
Okay. First thing I want to do is what Tahira was talking about earlier about things being hidden in plain view.
Amen.
And this being, it's actually they call it a form of witchcraft.
Yeah.
It's how to get you to think the way they want you to think without you realizing it, okay?
Right.
And so what they do is they put symbols and they put actions, and then you see it with your subliminal mind, and then you begin to accept it as being a norm. And so one of the things that they want to make a norm is homosexuality, okay? So now if you look on TV, it's in everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. What's that?
In the kids'
cartoon, she said. So because they want to normalize it. They wanted to make it be a part of what you feel that is just a part of normal sin. But it is not a normal sin. It is an abomination to God. Yeah. And what God says is this. Abomination means a detestable thing. It said God detests it. It's a horrible, detestable thing in the sight of God. And he has a list of things that he says they are an abomination to me, okay? And so they're trying to make an abomination a regular part of human, you know, day-to-day living, like profanity, okay?
Right.
Like, you know, since they put profanity in everything that you listen to, everything, because at a time there was none in music, you know, and if you want to hear it on an album or something, you went in the record store, you had to go all the way in the back, and it said adults only. And those records had profanity on them. Those are the only records you could get. And usually it was like Flip Wilson or Red Fox or Richard Pryor, right? But it was like the filth was in the back. Regular music was just regular music. This is before y'all time. She's like, what? Yeah, this is before y'all time. Lisa claiming her youth. All right. So I'm just saying that all of this is meant to change your attitude, change your way of thinking, because they're getting people prepared. And I keep trying to tell you, they are getting the world prepared to accept what their lifestyle. Okay, there was some girl she was talking about. She's pansexual now.
What?
You know, pan is another name for Satan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Pan is another name for Satan. So she says she's pansexual, which means which is the word for bisexual, whatever it is, right? But so what she's actually saying is she's Satan's theology of sexuality. That's her thing. And they're the ones that did the music for Charlie's Angels. So if you go see Charlie's Angels, big lesbian promotion with the theme song is the theme song from, I forget the girl that sings it, her and another girl, is about being bisexual. And they both claim to be pansexual, right? So this is what they're pushing on you now, okay? And so they do stuff in plain sight and hoping that you will place your Christianity on the altar of entertainment. Because that's what we do as Christians, right? It's like, I'm a Christian. Oh, but I want to see this movie and it's rated R. I'm going anyway. Let's just put Jesus Christ on the altar for today, because we're going to enjoy this rated R movie, right? And so if it comes out, we're strong Christians, but I got to see this, right? And Satan knows that Christians will do this.
Yeah.
You know, we will place our Christianity on the altar of entertainment, because entertainment is more important than serving God for us, right? So if we like the music, we don't care, because I gotta hear this song, you know? And we don't think about what it's talking about, because we take Christ and we say, we gotta put you aside now because I'm being entertained. And God wants you to be very particular about what you allow to entertain you, you know? And so you have to choose what not to watch, what to watch, you know, what your kids can watch. And God is no different from us, you know? We don't sit our kids in front of everything.
Right.
And what makes you think God wants to sit us in front of anything, you know?
Yeah.
But we do it because we sacrifice Christianity to be entertained, okay? I was going to go through some of this, but I don't really want to go through a lot because I've been trying to wake you up. It's very hard to wake people up who are asleep. You ever wake somebody up who's like in a dead sleep? It's hard, huh? It's like you shaking them and flipping them. And it's like they're like, stop, you know? It's like you leave them for 1 second and they're snoring again, right? And that has been really my life story here, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to wake people up, but I know it's uncomfortable to be woken up. It's very uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to know about the things that are going on in the world. It's very uncomfortable, you know? So, but God wants you to be awake because he wants you to know what is going on is real.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I know you guys were not here on Saturday, so I mean on Thursday or Friday, so I'm going to explain something to you. Because the Lord had me, I'm not going to go there yet, but the Lord had me go back and study the Psalms, okay? And the Psalms are, the last three Psalms are 17, 18, and 19. And 19 we know is 8 verses, 22 Hebrew letters, right? Which is the 888, the Aleph and the Tav, all Jesus Christ. Okay, after that, the Genesis Psalm, Psalm chapter 20, is actually a Genesis Psalms. It's called the Psalms of Ascent. They're a whole separate. They're saying something new begins here in Psalms 120. So Psalms 120 is a Genesis chapter. Now, from Psalms 120 to Psalms 127, you get a complete tribulation scenario. You get a cry out for help. God answering, I'm going to help you. Mid-trib, you get the flood of war coming against Israel. You get, after that, God hiding Israel. And then you get Jesus Christ coming and rescuing Israel. And he says, I'm coming and rescuing you, and I'm bringing the sheaves with me. You know the sheaves? The wheat harvest. I'm bringing them back with me when I come to get you. It's all categorized as a seven-year tribulation psalms from Psalms 120 to 127. So the possibilities of the church leaving is always my joy, because that is our blessed hope. If you have another way of getting out of here other than the rapture and Jesus, please let me know. But my only hope, my only superhero is Jesus Christ. And the only plan to get me out of here before all this craziness jumps off is the rapture. Okay. Amen. So if you have something else, please let me know. One of the things that we discovered a while ago was this scripture. It says there, it says the woman, which is the beast that's going to take over in the tribulation, during the tribulation time, it says the beast was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering in gold, precious stones of pearl. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adultery. Then in 18, God says, for everyone who's involved in this church to come out of them, because if you don't, you will share in their judgment, right? So who is this abomination dressed in purple and scarlet? The Catholic Church, right? So I'm going to let Pastor Ben put that up on the screen, because that's at one of their ceremonies. And when they're inaugurating a new pope or something like that, they all dress in purple and scarlet. And so the scripture is telling you this is where the abomination of the world is coming from, right? So you know. God is not trying to hide things. He wants the church to know, so that church people who want to know Jesus aren't sitting in a Catholic church bowing down to a statue of something, amen, putting roses on it and kissing it, right? Mm-hmm. He wants you to know, okay? I have a quotes from different artists who are very popular. And let me see if I could read this one. It feels like I'm going insane. Yeah, it's a thief in the night to come and grab you. Well, this is Rihanna. She's saying something about how it feels when Satan takes over her when she's performing. So I have different quotes from all of them, though. Here is Marilyn Manson. He says, I'll be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity. Jay-Z, life begins when the church ends. I don't know who Fergie is, but she said, the devil comes and soon my subconscious and conscious might start to brawl as the cunning demon takes me as a woo doll. So she's explaining how it feels when she's performing and the spirit takes her over, kind of like Rihanna was trying to say there. I couldn't read it. And Eminem says, I sold my soul to the devil. And he says, I'll never get it back. And here is Drake. He says, if you sell your soul to the devil, you get more grain. So that's what he promotes. And then Katy Perry says, I want to be like Amy Grant. I wanted to be the Amy Grant of music, but it didn't work out, so I sold my soul to the devil. And so they got all their quotes, Metallica, this girl Keisha, and all these people. Bon Jovi is one of them that he says, when I was just a boy, the devil took my hand and took me from my home, made me a man, Bon Jovi. So all of these people are, these are their actual quotes, okay? And what they're saying is, look, what they're saying is, look, your music is tainted, okay? Your movies are tainted. Your music is tainted, okay? Whether it's subliminal or right in front of your face, is tainted. So that means you can't just say, oh, I think I'll go to the Bon Jovi concert, or I think I'll go and listen to a few Drake songs. Because their whole underlying message is, I'm trying to introduce you to Satanism, okay? So I'm going to explain one thing, because I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday night. There's an artist named Lil Wayne, right? Do you guys remember when the movie came out that was, it was a Batman movie, and it was Aurora, Colorado. And someone went in there and they shot 12 people, right? 2 weeks before that event happened, Lil Wayne introduced his new video. And you know what it was? They were in a movie theater and there were 12 skeletons sitting in the theater. So that means he knew that this was going to happen before it happened. But I had another quote in here from Lil Wayne claiming that he's always been a Satanist, and God gives him all, Satan gives him all his blessings. So he knew that that was going to happen. He does a music video with 12 dead people in a movie theater. Then 2 weeks later, 12 people get shot in a movie theater. And then you're supposed to say, oh, yeah, well, we didn't know. Okay. So I'm trying to explain to you guys that the world is way more corrupt than you think. There are people who really do worship demonic spirits here. I know you're in your flesh and it's hard for you to see God as being real because you're in your flesh, but you got to understand there is a spiritual battle that is going on. You're part of it, and God wants you to be smart. That's what Tahira was trying to explain. Understand that there's witchcraft going on for your mind while you're being entertained, okay? So let me put that away, because that's what the Lord wanted me to say concerning that. Okay. Now, let's get into our message. No, that was not the message. I didn't open the Bible, so that was not the message. That was God wanted me to explain some things to you. Now, what I want to talk to you about right now is holiness. Amen. And sanctification.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing that Christians say concerning both of them. Do you know they're both the same word? In Greek, holiness and sanctification is the same word. Look it up in the Strong's. You look up either one, it's going to have the same definition and be the same word. Now, what is holiness? It is to be set apart, okay? To set yourself apart for the relationship with one person, okay? To be used by one person. Holy matrimony. I'm setting myself apart to be used by one person, okay? If you gave your life to Christ, you accepted a covenant of marriage. That means he wants you to only be used by one person, and that is God. When you take you, your body, your mouth, your attitude, your whatever, and you use that for anything other than the one person who you've dedicated to, now you're cheating. Now you're not exercising the covenant that you signed or the covenant that you agreed to, and that is to be fully married to God. Okay? Now, we say as Christians, because we don't know it's the same word, if I'm going to be holy, sanctification is the process to holiness. And it's true in a way, because sanctification is a process. Sanctification is once you accept God. Now, you know, God, let me tell you, God is the most beautiful person in the world. He is the only person that goes into a marriage situation with a clause on the side that says, if you mess up, this is how you can be forgiven. It's the only guy that'll go into a marriage like that. You understand? Because I know that once you're married, you don't want nobody. That,
right. No.
I see. We was just kissing. Right? Even the Lord showed it to me. Imagine you're at a wedding. You're at a wedding. And of course, you know, it's after and everybody's, you know, at the reception and everybody's having time. And you go to the bar, you don't drink. So you say, I want an orange juice and a cranberry juice, right? Mixed together. And you just, but then you see somebody, you know, and you turn around and say hello. And you look back and you see somebody drinking out of your glass and they put it down and walk away.
Ew.
Are you going to go over there and drink that rest
no.
of that? Why not?
Somebody else had it.
Is that glass so holy and sanctified to you that you can't even use it now? So now you understand how God feels, okay? When you, the born-again Christian, is at a weed party.
Well,
you understand?
Party.
He like, wait a minute. You let somebody drink out of my cup? You understand?
Amen.
What are you doing here? You understand? Because God considers that you are His, and everything that you do has to be a part of Him. You understand? You are holy to God. Here, let's read this one scripture.
That's good, man.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And it says this. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. That means to separate yourself to God, right? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So without holiness, you will never see God. You have to sanctify yourself. The thing now is, listen, holiness is... And I hate to use football analogies. Holiness is kind of like the end zone, the touchdown. The sanctification is the drive to get there. You understand? But you have a drive. You know where you're going. You know what you want to do. You know how you know how to get there. But I know you guys. I don't know how many of you guys play football. Making a touchdown is hard. Okay? I'll give you the ball sometime in a game. And I'll just say, just run down there. With you got those other 11 people like really angry, right? They used to say the ball draws a mean crowd. Don't touch it, right? And it's the same thing with this. Look, we know where we want to get, but to get there, it's going to take some effort. You understand? You're going to have to really desire to get there, okay? The sanctification process is something that you have to be determined about. Understand? You have to be determined. Sanctification is, so what are the things that, how would I know that you're dedicated to getting to the goal? Because our goal is what? We used to have a player on our team. He used to always say, I got to get to the promised land today. He wasn't a Christian. He'd curse all the time. But he would always say, I got to get to the promised land today. It's like, why you keep saying that? Man, the end zone is my goal. His thing is he wanted to make a touchdown. And he knew that for him to get there, he really had to exert some effort to get there, right? If paradise, if heaven is your goal, and sanctification always has to be your motive. You understand? So in my sanctification, I have to be able to read my word, okay? Because, oh, yeah, I remember one time. He was like, he was running, and it just didn't seem like him, you know? This guy, he was running. It just didn't seem like him. He was looked like he was soft that day. So the coach pulled him aside and said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I'm just trying not to get hurt my ankle again. He said, go sit down. Because you don't go on that field unless your goal is to make a touchdown, right? You don't get in the game unless you're really going to try. You understand?
Right.
And since we've gotten into this game called sanctification, because we're trying to get to heaven, we're trying to get to where we want to get, you're going to have to put some effort into getting there. Okay?
Amen.
You really are. Okay? Listen. So what is grace? Who knows what grace is? Some people say,
American favor.
Somebody, favor, right? Now we always say that. I said, let me look it up in the Hebrew. And this is what it says in the Hebrew. It says a period allowed for payment or a sum due for compliance of the law. An extended period granted as a special favor. Grace is an extended period granted as a special favor. Do you understand that? It's like, look, your rent was due last week. I'm going to extend you another week as grace so that you can get it together and get me what I'm supposed to have, right?
Right.
That grace is not for you to take advantage of, go back to the person a week later and say, I still don't have it. Mm. And then say, well, I'm going to take advantage of his grace again. I'm going to go back 2 weeks later and say, I still don't have it. Mm. Okay? Because grace, it says in the Hebrew, is about zman, which is time. It is not just about favor. Yeah, you have favor, but your favor is based on time.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Your favor, it says, an extended period granted as a special favor. So grace is not just favor. It's a period of time given to a person to have favor. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6.
Amen.
Okay. Now listen what it says here, because it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born to them. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he also is flesh, yet his days will be 120 years. Who is God talking to? Noah, right? Noah backwards is what? Noah backwards is hen, which is grace in Hebrew. Okay? When Noah's 120 years were over, guess what was also over? The 120 years granted for what? Grace was over. You understand? So grace is a time that's extended to you as a favor. Okay? You don't take advantage of grace. You try to make sure that you take care of everything that you need to take care of during that time. So when that you see that person again, you say, I have accomplished what you desired for me to accomplish.
Yes.
I no longer need grace. And let me tell you, it's a good thing, because when you're standing in a judge, in front of a judge, you don't have grace anymore.
Right.
Now you have judgment, and you may get mercy if he likes your case, because his mercy endures forever. But I'll give $1 billion if I had it to anybody can find his grace endures forever. Find it in scripture, and I will give you every dime that I have, because there's nowhere in scripture that it says his grace endures forever. His mercy endures forever.
Right.
Okay? So understand, grace is on a time cycle.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
That means you can't do it all the time like you want to, the way you want to, because at some time you got to go before the judge.
Yes.
And once you get before the judge, you got mercy and you got judgment. Okay?
Amen.
He can judge you with mercy. It says, look, it says, but grace has expired. You got to understand that. Grace has expired once you're in front of the judge. So, our time here is based on what? We are under a covenant of what? Grace. And what does grace mean? And you're under a certain amount of time to get it right. So what if my time runs out and I'm still a cheating on my wife, cursing my kids out type of guy who claims I'm a Christian? Okay. Do I go before God and I say, well, I still need your grace? If it's judgment time, I can't ask for more grace. You understand?
Right.
And this is why I try to tell people, look, if you try to live in a standard of once you're saved, you're always saved, and you run out of grace and you're standing for a judge and he has to judge you based on what you've done and the life that you've lived, and you're trying to convince him that you're worthy of the kingdom of God, I did accept you, okay, and I just never decided to live for you. Okay, I never fully gave myself to you, so I continue to be the same person I was when I met you. And then you stand before God expecting grace, more time. Well, he's like, time is over. This is the judgment seat.
Right.
You could get some mercy. And I may say, well, you know, I would throw myself on the mercy of the court. But you know what? The book of Ezra say? He says, at judgment time, grace and mercy disappears.
Yeah.
And that always scared me when I read that. I showed Pastor Ben. I said, when judgment comes, grace and mercy disappears and all there is judgment. So we have to be careful about the way we walk. OK, either you want to be in the game or you don't. OK.
Right.
If you're not trying to get to the touchdown, if you're not trying to get to heaven, if you just want to hang out and be, because when I was young, there were guys that were real gang members. OK, they were real gang members. I was like, I'll help you fight, but I ain't shoot nobody. I ain't stupid. But there were certain guys, they wouldn't let me hang out with them because they said I wasn't real. You understand?
Mm.
It's like, you're not real. You're not a real gangster. You just like hanging out, smoking weed, and laughing. If we get in a fight, you get in. But when we got to do some real dirt, you're not with us, right? So they knew that I wasn't real. Myself, I like being around real Christians. You understand? I like being around strong
yes.
Christians. I like being around people that are in the game. I pray to God to make me like Greg sometime. And because Greg is like a shooter in my neighborhood. He's like, he see you and immediately he starts praying for you, talking to you about Jesus. You know what I mean? He don't care who you are. You going to get Jesus. You understand? I pray sometimes and I'm like, God, give me a spirit like Greg, because sometimes people talking to me and I should be talking to them about Jesus. And I just say something nice and I walk on. Greg would never do that. Greg was like, hey, man, let me pray for you before I leave. You have Jesus in your life? Well, how's your family? Can we pray for any of them? And before you, the guy, you know it, the guy's got his hands up. He's in the alley and you're going, what is Greg doing? Right?
That's him.
And I want people around me that are really in the game to win. You know what I mean? Not just you're in this to be a part of a good Christian church that you could say you have fellowship with.
Right.
You want to be in this because what's the sense of playing if you're not going to get to heaven?
Right.
I mean, we have a goal here. This is not something to play around with. So what are we going to do as far as our sanctification is, okay? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, because this is where the Lord wanted me to read from today. Are you in Ephesians chapter 4? The Lord said, I want you to read from this chapter. And explain it as you go, because this is what's important for the church right now. Because I can't walk out your Christian life for you. I used to try to do that when I was a young pastor, try to help people be stronger Christians. That's a lot of work. How you doing? Can I pray for you this morning? Yeah, man, go ahead and pray for me. They ain't even really receiving the prayer, right? They're like, how come you wasn't at church? I'm calling people. You know what I mean? I'm just really doing everything to try and get other people to live for Jesus. And I couldn't do it. And when I found out that I couldn't do it, I mean, I could hear God going, like, who do you think you are? You know what I mean? Like, as if, you know, you could preach a great message and these people would go, Pastor Sandy spoke an incredible message. I'm going to live for God for the rest of my life now. It ain't happening. God told me, you know what he told me? He said, I split the sea and let them walk through it, and they still didn't live for me. So I don't know who you think you are. You just do what you're supposed to do, and if their heart is right, they'll follow me. Okay? So I just have to preach the gospel. There was a guy that follows us, white guy. He sits like at a table and he's doing his prophecy, his rapture prophecies and all of this stuff. And he's always, sometimes he'll mention my name. Well, you know, Pastor Sandy gave a good scripture on this one. But spoke on once saved, always saved. He said, I believe you have to have faith in Christ and you have to live a life of repentance to be saved so that you can go into the kingdom. And boy, did he get hammered. Everybody from all over said, what do you mean that when I get saved, I'm not always saved? What do you mean I have to actually live for Jesus? What do you mean by saying that if I try to live for Jesus, that's works? And if I stop lying, that's me trying to do works, and works can't save you. And he's like, works and obedience aren't the same thing. But they were hammering him. And he came back like, I had to take a couple of weeks off. That was it. He said, woo, they came against me. Because Satan is always preaching against Jesus' doctrine.
Yeah.
Jesus' doctrine is once you come into this, you got to live this out. You got to walk this out, right? And so walking it out is the sanctification part. But remember, the person that married you already gave you a loophole so that you can still have forgiveness and be married,
yeah.
Right? God is the only person that would do this.
Yeah.
There's no other marriage that people would go into that gives you a loophole to make all kind of mistakes while we're married.
Steve Monet.
Huh?
Steve Monet.
Oh, was that him? Okay, is that the guy that speaks? Yeah. Well, thank God for him. That brother, I mean, he spoke a great message, and I felt bad for him. When he came back, I felt bad for him. Grab that little guy and beat him up. Security. All right. We got a little guy around here playing slide on the floor. Yeah. Okay, so are you in Ephesians chapter 4? Let's start from the beginning and let's just pretend we're at Tahira's house in the living room reading the Bible together. All right? And it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Wow. Okay. That destroys once saved, always saved right there, right? Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Peace means, look, I ain't got to argue with you about nothing.
Right.
Okay? If you got another opinion, have a good day. I gave you the scripture that the Bible says God has not called us to argue people into Christianity or argue other Christians into our doctrine,
right,
or our thinking, okay?
Right.
If that's the way you feel, have a good day,
yeah,
and I'll pray that the Holy Spirit reveals it to you.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here arguing with you.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you and love on you and say, I'll see you later. And I hope the Lord shows you is right.
Amen.
But arguing amongst each other is ridiculous, right?
Amen, it is.
Because I saw two people arguing over scripture and both of them was wrong. And they're like, oh, maybe you ain't really saved. And you're like, maybe you're not really saved. And I was like, they're both wrong. They both got the scripture all backwards, right? But they're arguing and becoming not brothers over something neither one of them understands, right? We're not called to that, okay? It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to be one hope when you were called. The one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Okay? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appropriated it. This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and gave gifts to men. He's talking about when he left with the saints, okay? But listen what it says before in verse 7. Each of us, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has appropriated. So each of us has received grace for the time that you're here. You understand? You got grace for the time that you're here. To do what? To get it right. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit now. God bless you. But you also have the grace to get it right while you're here.
Yeah.
You cannot. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
A fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If Pastor Sandy would have died, even though he accepted Christ when he was 17, if he would have died robbing people and hanging out in strip clubs, he would have went to hell.
Yeah.
And if you think that I would have been able to stand before God and say, I know I was robbing people and I was hanging out in strip clubs, but I gave my life to Jesus back in high school, remember? You never walked it out. You weren't living it when you died. Okay, you have to understand the time appropriated to us is to what? Use the grace to get it right.
Yeah.
Because now you have the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, every time I went to do something wrong for a while, the Holy Spirit said, don't go. Don't do that. Don't be with them. Don't go there. Right? So while the Holy Spirit was talking to me, you know what I was doing? I was quenching the Spirit. That don't mean I was stopping somebody from shouting, because that's what they grow you up to. I was quenching the Spirit, because when he spoke, I put my fingers in my ears because I wanted to sin. I just didn't know how to do it and be a Christian.
Mm.
So after a while, I stopped listening so I could be me. And therefore, I was fully backslidden. You understand? So understand this. You come into Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in you trying to transform you into the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's trying to transform it. And if you allow him, okay, if you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, then you won't be quenching the Spirit. You'll be in agreements with him, and you won't grieve the Spirit. You understand? Because he grieves. He's like, this person accepted me, but they won't live for you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Keep trying. Try to get them to stop doing this and stop doing that, because that's going to ruin their life. And that's going to ruin their life, right? So he's trying to get us to live for him.
Yeah.
Now, as we continue, ooh, we ain't going to get there. It says, he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower regions. And he who descended into is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe, okay? So when he went down into the grave, he came up, and in his train was all the Old Testament saints.
Mm-hmm.
He that descended also ascended,
yeah,
and took them out and say, price has been paid. The door to the kingdom of God is now open. Let's get out of here. says, we'll come back next time when it's the church's turn.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, in 11, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the work of for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, listen. It is God who does what? He calls those to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, okay? Pastors and teachers. It's God who calls us to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want to hear anybody anymore say, I was watching YouTube and I heard a voice. Said, you ought to be a YouTube preacher. You know? And now you're on YouTube, just a going and a going and a going and a going. And YouTube cannot call you to be a pastor.
Amen.
That is something I fought for years to be called to be a pastor. That was a moment I will never forget. All my Jewish friends say, were you sent or did you went? Because if you went, then you in trouble. God is the only one that can call you to ministry. And if he hasn't called you, do it very carefully. You understand? Do it very carefully, because now James says you're being held at a higher level of judgment, because now you're calling yourself a teacher.
Yep.
Okay? And you ask, why does Pastor Sandy study so hard? Why is he going to the Hebrew? I was called to do this, and I don't want to be disappointing to the one who called me.
Right.
You understand? This has to be done by God. Let's get to the part. Here we are. Let's go to verse 14. It says, then we will be no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful schemings. Okay? Because I think everybody that's telling people that you can live any way you want to and still be saved is not coming from God.
Amen.
Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is head, that is Christ. For it says, from him the whole body joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Each part, it says, each part does its work, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have a part in the body of Christ that we're supposed to be doing. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of thinking. What's the futility of thinking? It means doing stuff without even giving thought to it. I watch TV, I don't even give thought to it. They cursing. I listen to music, I don't even give thought to it. It's a futility of thinking, okay? It's I'm going to leave my brain behind as I do the things I want to do. Mm. God's saying, everything you do, think about rather God wants this in your life.
Yeah.
You understand? Because a lot of things we get involved with, God never told you to do that.
Amen.
God and the Holy Spirit told you not to go. And the Holy Spirit said, this is not a good. Christians at a Snoop Dogg concert. And they go, oh, and somebody punched me. A drunk guy punched me. I was at a Snoop Dogg concert. Well, what you doing at a Snoop Dogg concert?
Right.
Well, I felt bad because I had to go to church the next day. Yeah, why you go for a Snoop Dogg concert? Things that don't mix. You understand?
Right.
Things that don't mix. So I'm saying, look, we're not supposed to operate without thinking.
Right.
Amen.
New horror movie coming out, Demons from the Underworld. My favorite actor's in that. I got to see it. I'm going to put my Christianity on the altar of entertainment and go and see this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And they got all kind of witchcraft in there. And then you walk out and subliminal messages, and you walk out and you never the same.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit would have told you, don't go see that. You know what I mean? And With me, it's like I feel like that dad that's always on his kid all the time, you know? And they just, people start looking at you like, all you think about is living godly. All you think about is living godly. Holy, holy, holy. That's the way you are.
Yes.
And I get like, I'm like, well, what do I do, Lord? I said, there you go, trying to make people live godly again. Told you can't do it. Here, split the sea and see if they'll live for you. See if they'll live godly. Go ahead, split the sea, and then let them cross through, and then see what they do to you when they get to the other side.
Right.
They're going to do the same thing.
Yep.
So he said, if their heart ain't right, their heart ain't right. Stop trying. Okay?
5 minutes, man.
Let's go. All right. It says, where's the futility of his thinking? Okay. Verse 18. They are dark. It says they are darkened in their understanding. This is what God wants you to know. Okay. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Having lost sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with truth that is in Jesus. Listen. Sanctification is a process. You are never gonna skip your way to a touchdown. You understand? Nobody gonna be like, you will never make it to heaven without some effort.
Right.
Okay, Drea gets up every morning. I'm not saying it's put on blast. She don't let you turn on nothing till she finished praying.
Amen.
Okay, that's effort. Yeah. You understand? Before she comes down, I gotta pray. Turn that off. I gotta pray. You understand? She come home. I gotta go in there. I gotta go get in my word. I feel dumb. I wish she would call my wife dumb, but. You have to have some type of discipline.
That's right.
If you're going to accomplish something.
That's right.
You can't do anything without some type of discipline, okay? And it is not God that is going to come down and make you read the Bible.
Right.
And Satan is never going to show up in front of you with a red suit on and a fork with a tail from the back. He doesn't appear that way.
Amen.
That's what he wants you to think he looks like. So when the guy that comes to see you, he like, that can't be saying he wouldn't be that good looking.
Right.
But you have to understand, now you've got to operate not in the futility of your mind. Like, oh, you're just good looking. Sure, I'll go to dinner. Come on over, meet my child. That's not crazy, right? Like when my mom was meeting guys when she was young, before she accepted Christ, if she met a guy, they came to the house. You know what I mean? And we had to go through that time and time again, right? Oh, you're not your stepdaddy no more. Nah, he's not your stepdaddy. You know what I mean? We had to go through that over and over. Because my mother wasn't saved. She was operating through her flesh, through the fertility of her mind. But when she got saved, man, that lady went 40 years before she had another boyfriend.
Wow.
Jesus was her only man.
Amen.
Until my dad asked her if she wanted to remarry. And she said, I was there 2 weeks and got out of there. She said, he ain't changed. So I'm telling you, look, we have to put some effort into it. Sanctification is the process that Jesus Christ gives you to do what? To allot you the time to get it right. You understand?
Yeah.
Once you accept Christ, you are justified in his sight as being worthy of the kingdom of God. All you have to do is follow the process. What's the process? If you should sin, confess your sins, and he is just and able to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My little children, I wish that you would not sin, but if anyone does, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? And if you would confess your sins, he is just to forgive you. Yeah. You understand? So we have God is the only person that married us with clauses to keep us married. He's like, oh, these are the forgiveness clauses if you cheat. Let me try to present that to Drea. She's like, here's your forgiveness clause. Because I'm telling you, I do not mess around with Drea. You understand? And it's not that I'm not scared of her. I'm in love with my wife and I'm in love with God and I want to be obedient.
Right.
But I know Drea, she don't have no claws.
No fear, don't hurt
she don't have no claws. And I ain't trying to be out, you know, looking for nothing. But with God.
Amen.
Yeah, and you gonna tell me God's not loving?
Amen.
You gonna tell me God's not loving? He's gonna marry you with a clause to forgive you for every wrong already embedded into the covenant? Come on, God is good.
He's good.
But you have to be putting some effort into it because your sanctification means I'm setting myself apart for God. More and more every year I should be showing fruit that my life is being more sanctified for God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, that's it, Pastor Ben. I'm not going to stress you out.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
That was good words.